You are listening to The Overwhelmed Brain. Ever wanted to hide your head in the sand when you're around others? Then visit quietbegins.com and check out the Safe Empowerment System for Social Anxiety. You shouldn't have to suffer when there's a path to freedom and ease. Life presents the toughest challenges. Every day you are faced with decisions that test your ability to express who you really want to be in this world. We're told to keep saying affirmations and keep thinking positively, but what do you do when that stuff doesn't work? Welcome to The Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now. Hello and welcome to the show. This is Paul Coliani and I'm here to help you increase your emotional intelligence so that you can avoid dysfunction, handle toxic situations with grace and ease, and show up as your authentic self. Everything I talk about on this show is my personal opinion and is meant for informational and educational purposes only. Always consult a medical or psychological professional before making any changes that could affect your physical or mental health. All right, I want to talk about something that happened to me the other day, and it has to do with releasing any type of emotional discontent you have. Any negative emotions that rise up in you in the moment, any feelings of awkwardness or even upset or anger that I'll just explain what happened and then we can talk about it for a moment. But what happened is I was with my friend, fellow coach, fellow podcaster, Matthew Bivens, and we were doing our monthly conversation. We get together and we talk about personal growth and business. Sometimes it's more of one, sometimes it's more of the other. And it's nice to have somebody to bounce things off of. And not only just because I'm looking for feedback, but sometimes I get feedback that I'm not expecting. You know how it goes. But when we were leaving, you know, we had about two and a half hours together. When we were leaving, he went to shake my hand. And normally we just hug each other and say our goodbyes and we connect again in a month. But this time he went to shake my hand. And as I went to reach for it, he pulled back and then he hugged me. And it was awkward. And just a little side note here, and this really wasn't what he was trying to do, but when you do this, there's a technique in hypnosis called a handshake interrupt. If you actually reach for someone's hand and they reach for your hand, but you suddenly take it away, that can put them in a small trance-like state. Or a big one, because they're on autopilot at that moment. You're reaching for someone's hand and they pull it away. You're not sure what to do. There's like a surprise to your system. It interrupts the pattern. And so this pattern interrupt becomes a little trance-like state. And hypnotists will use this to plant a suggestion or something like sleep or something else. And you'll be more susceptible to do something while you're in a trance-like state. And these trance-like states, they're not like one in a million. We have these all the time. Little pattern interruptions, or something is happening and we're just staring at it, not sure what to think about it. These little states where we're kind of unconscious and we're just trying to figure out what to do next. This is what happens in a handshake interrupt. Is that you can be in a trance-like state. So that's a little side thing, you know, a little education on the show in case you're not familiar with hypnotic techniques and things like that. I had some training and certifications there, so I know the drill. But I like to spread that information around, and hopefully you'll use that wisely, just educationally. But what happened was when he pulled his hand back, and then we hugged, just like we do every time, I felt awkward. I was left hanging. You know how that goes where you reach for a high five from somebody and they don't high five you? It feels a little strange. I don't know if you've ever done that, but I think you get the idea. And you're just left wondering what just happened. But, you know, it was quickly sort of resolved when we said goodbye the normal way. We hug and then we move on. But I had this feeling that came up inside of me. This feeling of awkwardness, this feeling of uneasiness, like, that didn't end like it was supposed to end. And on top of that, I caught myself doing what I would consider to be a behavior that helps resolve my nervousness or uneasiness about what happened. When he was reaching for my hand, which like I said, doesn't normally happen. I said, oh, you're leaving? And for some reason, I don't know why I said that. Because we had already left the building. We were on our way to our own vehicles. And for me to say that, it's just strange. Why did it come out of my mouth? Oh, you're leaving? And I had to analyze that later after I got in my car. And I said it because it was a coping mechanism. And we can catch ourselves in these little coping mechanisms that have existed for years. And I figured out it was a coping mechanism because I was trying to make the situation easier for both of us because it didn't make sense. And I figured out that my coping mechanism when things don't make sense is to make a comment in order for a distraction. I'm sure it's deeper and I can probably go into it in myself and reflect even more on this. But I realized, even thinking about it now, that my mom does this a lot. My mom will use words as a distraction. And what I mean by that is if my mom and I start talking about something a little deep, a little bit emotional that she doesn't want to connect to because it hurts inside of her, she will say, how's your life? How are you doing? Have you seen this TV show? You know, she'll say something else. And it will redirect my focus and her focus onto something else. So we don't have to get into that deep topic that she doesn't want to talk about. You know, I'm making some assumptions here. That's what she's going through. But I'm pretty sure that's what's happening. Because every time we start to get into a deeper conversation that really shares something personal, you know, emotionally speaking about her life, she wants to change the subject. And she will come up with something really fast. So how are you doing? And when she does that, I realize, oh, I've gotten too close to something in there that might be a little painful or, you know, whatever her reasons are, she doesn't want to talk about it. And so I learned to respect that. And I've just become observant of that as well. In doing so, observing other people for many years doing, you know, coming up with these coping mechanisms and defense behaviors and things like that, I have to be cognizant of them in myself. Just like I encourage you to be cognizant of coping mechanisms and defensive behaviors in yourself so that you aren't driven by them, so that you aren't led by them solely. Like, I don't want you to go through life led by your coping mechanisms or your defensive behaviors because they don't always serve you. Plus, they are very good at hiding what needs to be worked on underneath. In my case, do I have to work on this, where I say something as a distraction to avoid a confrontational situation? In this case, it wasn't confrontational, but I could tell from my own work on myself for many years that this was a confrontation avoidant behavior. In order to avoid confrontation, I would say something that would help redirect people's focus so it wouldn't be directed on the quote problem. Because if they're not focused on the problem, then they won't bring the problem up and there'll be no confrontation. There'll be no anxiety around it. There'll be no adversity around it. And we can just go on with our lives. Yet, throughout the years, I've learned that when I do this, I keep whatever negative emotions are in me. I just keep them and carry them around with me. And then they transform into other things that aren't so beneficial to me or others. Which is why I wanted to talk about this today, because what happened when Matthew and I met for lunch, and as we were parting, I had this weird feeling come up because of this whole handshake or hug thing. And I didn't bring it up in the moment. And I think a lot of us have a tendency of doing this. Something weird or awkward happens in the moment, and instead of saying like, oh, that was awkward, that was weird, let's try that again, we ignore it and just hope it, you know, we can both get past it without thinking about it, without bringing it up, because bringing it up might be a vulnerable place for us. And that's where I was in that moment. It was vulnerable. It was a little bit of a pattern interrupt. So I was kind of off guard and not really cognizant of what's going on. I was a little in that trance-like state that I was mentioning earlier. So I wasn't sure what to do except my old coping mechanism, which is an automatic behavior. That old autopilot kicked in and it helped me through that situation, but it also said, hey, you know those negative emotions that you're feeling? I'm going to stuff them down here. I'm going to put them down there so you can either deal with them later or not. So we said our goodbye. We finally did our thing, and we were chatting for just a few seconds after we said goodbye as we were getting into our cars, which were right next to each other. And at that point, I felt like I had to put on a fake smile because now I have these negative feelings inside of me. I mean, negative is a strong word. It was just awkward. I felt like I told him later, a bumbling idiot, which is where I'm getting to now. I'm going to tell you what I told him and what happened. But we both got into our cars and he left. And just for like 10, 15, 30 seconds, I sat there wondering, why am I feeling this way? What just happened? And I replayed it in my head and, you know, reaching for the hand, and it turned into a hug, and it was an awkward thing and I didn't know what to say. And then I did say something, and it was automatic pilot defensive coping mechanism. And then we had what I felt like was fake conversation right after that, because here I am just trying to get through the moment and pretend nothing happened, on and on and on. And I sat there. You know, this is good. We reflect on what we went through. We reflect on how we feel and why we feel that way. I like to do this. Thankfully, it doesn't happen too often, because as you work on this stuff, it gets better and better and you can reflect faster. But sometimes things come up. Oh, that was a coping mechanism. Why did that come up? What's that about? And as you work on yourself, you recognize them faster. I recognize this almost right away. And that's the thing, is that I didn't recognize it right away because I was on autopilot, but shortly after, I was able to reflect on it. And as you get better at self-reflection, self-observation, self-analysis, and going through the motion of asking yourself questions and really learning more about yourself, you catch these things faster and faster. In the past, I probably wouldn't have caught this until an hour later. Before that, I probably wouldn't have caught this a week later, you know, a long time later. I've had times with my girlfriend where she will have been upset for days, not knowing why, until I asked her the right question, or she came up with the right answer herself, where the origin will come up. Something like, oh, well, did you talk to that person on that morning? And what did that person say? And she'll go, oh, that was it. That was it. And that was 3 days ago. And she felt bad, or whatever she felt, for days. And this is what we can do. We can hold on to these negative feelings for days. So back to my story. I'm in my car thinking about what just happened, and I decided to text Matthew. I say, hey, Matthew, I just want to share with you, full transparency. When you reached out to shake my hand and then you pulled it back and instead we hugged and then we talked for a little bit, I just felt awkward. I felt like a bumbling idiot. Then I didn't give you a handshake, and then it turned into a hug, and then I felt like everything I just said before. And I was sharing with him all these feelings, and it was kind of weird. It was kind of weird telling someone that you just spent the last two and a half hours with that you felt awkward at the end, and you felt like a bumbling idiot. But I wanted to share with him because I was actually doing two things. A, I wanted to be honest with him. I wanted to be completely honest because what good of a coach would I be if I wasn't honest with myself about what I go through? And if I can't share it with someone like him, another coach, a trusted friend, then I'm not doing myself any favors, and I'm not doing my clients or you any favors. And I don't want to be the person that can't share his own things. I mean, I do this. I share on the air all the time. But when you're up close and personal, face to face, that's the true test, right? If you can share what's going on inside of you with this person. But I sent him the text, and just a few minutes later, he texted back, and he said, "Here, let me read it to you." Hang on a second. Hope he doesn't mind I'm reading this. He said, "I appreciate your vulnerability, man. You didn't come across as awkward at all. It's with me, it's funny. I have this style of doing a handshake and then a hug, and that's how I approach a lot of people. But about 70% of the time, it misses. So it really wasn't you. It's me. I appreciate, though, you sharing what you shared, because that's so much of what I think our power is as coaches and men. is that we are willing to be vulnerable and willing to be exposed. That's why so many people are interested in what you have to say on your podcast and your coaching as well. And thanks for being that example in real life. That made me feel really good. And I'll tell you what, when he sent that back, it was not only a validation of what I was able to share. I mean, validating instead of invalidating me, saying, oh, you don't have to feel that way. You know, don't be stupid, or don't turn this into what it isn't, or whatever. He didn't invalidate me. He validated. He allowed me to be honest. He allowed me to be transparent. He allowed me to be vulnerable. And what it did in that moment was purge the emotions inside of me. And that's the only way I can explain it, is that in that moment, any awkwardness or negativity or weirdness or idiocy that I felt were suddenly purged. And when I would normally have taken that with me and tried to ignore what had happened and what I would normally think that they thought about me, like Matthew might have left thinking, oh, that was really awkward. Paul did this weird thing, and I wonder if that's how Paul's like. You know, these are my thoughts about what Matthew is thinking, which might have created anxiety, which might have created some other issues that came up for me. I could have allowed that to happen by not saying anything, by not bringing it up, by just allowing that event to have happened and not mentioning it ever again, and then carrying it with me. I mean, I can't think of any other way to say it. I would have to have carried those emotions with me and hoped they dissipated. And, you know, they probably would have dissipated in some way, shape, or form. Maybe later I would have said, that's silly. Why am I thinking that way? He probably felt a little awkward too, or maybe he didn't, but I'm sure he thinks nothing less of me. And of course, he probably wouldn't think anything less of me. But this old stuff comes up no matter how much work you've done on yourself, no matter how much healing you've done, no matter how much growth you've done, no matter how much emotional or mental evolution you think you've gone through, there's still stuff in there. You know, our brain remembers, our body, our system remembers some old stuff that comes up on autopilot. And because it's on autopilot, we aren't cognizant or conscious of it. And because we're not conscious of it, it could happen and slip by our radar, our filter. And when it happens, we don't do anything about it because it's been so natural for us for so long. This behavior that I had was natural. This feeling of awkwardness and maybe a little bit of anxiety and certainly a feeling of stupidity. This was natural to me for so long. And I didn't realize it until I stopped and thought about it. And the reason I stopped and thought about it is because I'm always checking in with myself whenever a bad feeling comes inside of me. I think this is a good habit to get into. Like, what just made me feel bad in that moment? What just happened? Does that feel bad? Why does that feel bad? What caused me to feel bad? What were the specific things that occurred in that event that made me feel bad? And then I give myself the option of, and this is fairly new to me, of purging the emotions in the moment. How can I purge these emotions so I don't have to carry them with me? This is a really good thing to practice, purging the emotions in the moment. Well, for me, it was doing something that I didn't really want to do. I didn't really want to share with Matthew because it was a very vulnerable thing. It didn't feel manly. And I don't think I have a problem with that. I don't think I have a problem with my masculinity or being in touch with my femininity. I think I'm okay with that until something like this happens, and then I feel like I need to put up a defensive wall. Like, I need to be a man about this. And when I did that, I realized, wait, what am I trying to protect? What am I so afraid of? And especially, do I like this feeling that I'm holding on to right now? And that was my main focus, is that feeling. And it made more sense to me to be able to purge that emotion in the moment if I could. It made more sense for me to feel better faster than to hold on to it. And I don't know how much healing and growth you have to go through to get to the point where you prioritize wanting to feel better in the moment over the fear of what it takes to feel better in the moment. I don't know at what level you have to get to that point where you finally decide that you want to feel better in the moment, no matter what it takes, and you're willing to override the fear of what it takes to feel better, if that makes sense. And for me, what I needed to do was share with Matthew that this is what happened to me, this is how I felt about it, and I just wanted to share it. Just the act of sending that text alone, it took away 90% of it. It helped me get it out of my system. I like to call it giving my emotions a voice, helping express what's going on inside of me in an outwardly way. I don't know if that's a word, but in a way that gets it out of my system, gets it out of my body. And by doing that, it helped relieve so much. And then his validation of that took care of the rest. I have none of it left. It's gone. And one of the many reasons it's gone is because now I don't have this image of us meeting again and thinking about that moment. It won't come up as a negative event in my mind. In fact, the next time we see each other, I can mention it freely and even joke about it and say, all right, is it a handshake or a hug this time? And he'll laugh about it, and then we'll enjoy our conversation and everything will be great. But I'm telling you this because there are opportunities for you to purge emotions in the moment. When you have that feeling that comes up, and you can choose to hold on to that feeling, or you can decide, maybe this needs to be expressed. Maybe I need to mention this. This is very similar to what I talk about with anxiety. When I talked about anxiety in some of my previous episodes, I talk about how when you walk into a room and you're feeling anxious and you feel alone and you don't know what to do about this feeling, and it grows and grows and grows. Yes, you can get the safe system for social anxiety, yes. But there's also a quick way to do this as well, which is something that a lot of people don't want to do, but that is to express your anxiety to someone there. And, you know, a lot of people don't want to do that because it's all part of the social anxiety structure, and they don't really want to talk to anyone anyway or whatever. They're feeling these feelings, and if anyone knew how they felt, then their secret would be exposed and they would feel even more vulnerable, and they would feel like they could be in danger of some sort, you know, whatever thoughts go through their head, and that would cause more anxiety. But really the opposite happens most of the time, where when you express what's going on inside of you, you address anxiety in the moment, or like I did, awkwardness. I addressed my stupidity. I addressed my vulnerability. I addressed it all pretty much like within 1 or 2 minutes of the moment, because I wanted to purge my system of those emotions. I didn't want to carry those emotions with me. So you have opportunities. You run into this stuff all the time, you know, with friends and family, relationships, at the checkout counter, at the grocery store, or the department store, when you run into strangers, all this weird stuff. Many, many things can happen that make you feel awkward or weird or anxious or even angry, upset in some way. And you do have a choice. And it is hard sometimes to make the choice to express or let it be known what you're feeling in that moment, because it is a vulnerable place. It can be very vulnerable because you don't know how people are going to respond. And yes, some people are sort of dangerous to express yourself in front of. Some people are not safe. And so when you learn not to express yourself, especially in front of unsafe people, maybe while you're growing up or maybe in the relationship you're in now, you tend to do it with other people in the rest of the world. And those other people don't get the full experience of you. They don't get the authentic you. They get the, lack of a better term, fearful version of you. Because if I express myself, they may hurt me. They may yell at me. They may not be my friend. And we go around with this belief that it's better to not express what's going on inside of us, to not express some sort of fear or pain or shame or guilt or regret. We don't want to express these things. We just carry them around with us. And our life isn't as fulfilling as it could be. We carry this pain around with us. It's an emotional pain or an emotional wound or hurt of some sort. And when we do that, like I said, life is not as fulfilling as it could be. But when you make the choice to purge these emotions more and more by expressing what's going on inside of you, in the moment, the closer to the moment, the better. What you start finding is that you feel lighter, you feel better. You don't have to carry these things around with you. They don't compound into other, bigger issues. that turn into other bigger issues because you let them go a long time ago. And you get the freedom to be you. Nothing better than you. We'll be right back after this. You know, I'm talking about walking into a room and starting to feel anxious. Exactly. You know, you can use these little techniques that can help, but they do involve choice. They involve conscious choice. You have to consciously make this choice, and also involves a little bit of courage, a little bit of bravery to step outside your comfort zone and share something with someone else when it comes to what you're feeling inside of you. And if you are feeling anxiety in a room with other people or around friends or family, it's almost like the last thing you want to do. I get it. And you might say, if I could do that, I would. Well, this is why I created the Safe Empowerment System for Social Anxiety. I want you to go over to quietbegins.com. If you experience any form of anxiety, it is geared towards social anxiety and that feeling you get when it starts, when you're around people or your friends or family or around other people, other groups. I remember when I was in a group of hypnotists, you know, talk about hypnosis. And I've told this story on the air before, but we were around this table and everyone was introducing themselves one at a time. They would say, hey, I'm Joe. I've been doing this for 5 years and on and on and on. And so the next person, I could see the introduction coming to me. It was coming toward me. It was 3 people away. I'm getting anxious. It was 2 people away. I'm getting more anxious. Now I have to be the center of attention. Now I have to be the one in the spotlight. And I'm feeling this anxiety. And then there's 1 person away from me, and I know I'm the next one. And I don't like this feeling. And for the first time, this was like, I don't know, 10 years ago, for the first time, I finally said to myself, why the heck am I getting so anxious just introducing myself? This makes no sense. I'm just thinking this in my head. And then everyone looks at me. It's finally my turn. And instead of introducing myself, I just started telling the story of how I was sitting there watching everyone introduce themselves. And as it got closer and closer to me, I was getting more and more anxious. Pretty much what I said. I said, you know, I'm watching you guys. You're introducing yourself. Everyone looks confident. And as you're getting closer and closer to me, I'm feeling more and more anxious. And right away, someone said, you know, we are a group of hypnotists. We could probably help you. And everyone burst out laughing. And in that moment, my anxiety went away. It was gone. It was my first experience purging those emotions. And that's why I emphasize that purging process. But like I said, I know that's hard to do. Sometimes you can't get to that place inside of you. And that's what the Safe Empowerment System is designed to help you do, is to get to that more confident, more relaxed, more comfortable space inside of you so that you can get past these moments and not have to carry these feelings with you. And that's a great feeling to get past it, to get through it, to even heal from it. And I want you to have that feeling too. So go ahead and visit quietbegins.com. Check out the Safe Empowerment System. See if it's right for you. Because if you have anxiety, that should not be the norm for the rest of your life. I don't want that to be your norm. quietbegins.com. All right, welcome back. I'm going to address an email that I received almost a year ago. Yes, I have emails in my inbox that I've received way back in May of 2018. It is now April 25th, 2019, as I record this. And some people have probably written me and said, well, he never wrote back. What a jerk. I guess I'll tune out now. But seriously, I have kept every single email that has ever been sent to me in my inbox to address at one day that I could finally get to them. And so that's why if you've written to me and I haven't written back, it's not because I ignored it. It's not because I'm too busy for you. I am very busy. But it's not because I'm too busy for you. It's because It's just the order they were received and the order I can get to them. And yes, a lot of people will have issues that will have resolved themselves. A lot of people had issues that probably got worse, but hopefully better. And a lot of people still have these same issues. I don't know. But what I do is try to get to every single email that I can, every single message that I can, and every single problem that comes across my desk. Because I know if you're experiencing it, for one thing, somebody else is. And number two, you might still be experiencing it. And if I have any insights that can help, I want to help. I want to help you get into a better space with it. The email I'm going to read to you right now isn't necessarily about a problem. It's about resolution, really, and praise, which I always appreciate. But I want to read it to you because there's a link between what I just talked about and what she says. And she didn't give me permission to read her name, so I'm just going to call her Mary. Mary says, "Hello, I just want to thank you from the depths of my heart for creating your podcast. Somehow I missed out, and I've only just found it. I was raised in an alcoholic, physically as well as verbally, emotionally abusive household, and still, at 50 plus years old, struggle with so many emotions. I just listened to the episode where you guide the listener to remember an event from the past and watch, as an adult, while you relive the moment in your mind. The way you empower my inner child to remember that things do end up way better in my adult life compared to the hell of my childhood. I don't know the words to best express my gratitude to you for your authentic, transparent personality and the way you give the listeners the tools to use for dealing with the experiences, emotions, and other, quote, difficult people. Even though I've only listened to 8 episodes so far, I'm incredibly happy for the way I feel after listening to each one. From the funny, catchy intro to the You Are Amazing outro, I am enjoying every episode. I wish you success, happiness, and much peace in your life. Thank you again for ministering to my heart and soul through your podcast. Sincerely, Mary." All right, Mary, I am so honored that you wrote all of this, and I am reading it because, A, I like to know that people are getting something from the show. I like to know that you are getting value. So I'm reading it on the air because of that. So there's a bit of fulfillment in that for me. Maybe there's a bit of ego in there too. I'm all about inflating a healthy ego, just a little bit. And there's also the fact that it makes me feel very good to know that, not because you're listening to my show, but because you've overcome these struggles. Raised in an alcoholic, physically, verbally, emotionally abusive household, and 50 plus years old, you're still struggling, but you've overcome so much. And because you have, A, you know it's possible, and B, it can continue. It can continue. Your overcoming can continue. I was sharing with you in the last segment the stuff that still comes up for me, that awkward, bumbling, stupid feeling. It comes up even though I practice this all the time. I study this all the time. I help people. I coach people. I am living it. I'm immersed in self-help and psychology and human behavior all the time. I'm thinking about it constantly, yet it still happens. So yes, when you have more that has gone on in your life, in childhood, growing up, and more trauma, this stuff, because the brain is so good at remembering things and recalling things and bringing it up later to be addressed or to once again be squashed down because you're not ready to handle it or you don't know how to handle it, it gets stuffed back down there and then it has to be addressed later if it is ever addressed at all. This stuff that happens to us, we have an opportunity to look at and heal from. And if we don't have the resources to do it, hopefully you find the resources. You found this show and it has helped you. I am so grateful that you found this show that has helped you. I don't know if you're still listening. I hope you are. I'm going to send you an email and remind you because this is your episode. And I'm just so grateful when people tell me that they've healed through a lot of their struggles. And even though they still have struggles, they share something like this with me, which indicates, hey, I've gone through a lot. And yes, I know there's more to do, and I'm going to continue working on myself. At least that's what is implied with this email to me. And there are times that I actually enjoy my life. Maybe I enjoy my life the majority of the time, but every now and then these struggles, this old, whatever it is, PTSD, these old emotional wounds, they will come up. They will haunt me. They will rear their ugly heads, and then I have to deal with them or if I don't know how to deal with them, I got to put them away to work on later, whatever it is. The point is, this person, Mary, you wrote to me and you shared these struggles that you had. You're in a place where you can talk about it and say, you know, I went through this. I was physically abused, verbally abused, and this person did this to me and it was awful. When you can share this stuff and express these things, this is allowing your mind and your body to release them from your system. That doesn't mean it just happens. That doesn't mean the release is just automatic, because sometimes you really have to get clear and detailed. I mean more about the emotions than the actual events that occurred, because you could go through some really terrible physical or even sexual abuse and have many details around it that you hate to recall or bring up. But if you can express the feelings, the thoughts, the emotions about those details, then the details don't necessarily, I mean, I don't want to say they don't matter, but they aren't necessarily the release that you need to express those details. They can. You know, I'm all about, if you're recalling any sort of trauma, if you can express the details of that trauma, you know, without having some sort of what might be called an abreaction, where you are right back in the trauma and it feels like you're right there right now. If you can do that in a safe place with a person that is able to help you, guide you through it, you feel safe with, then talking about the details, everything that happened, I believe, this is my personal opinion, can help you sort things out. Some people, you know, this is a controversial space, and I understand there are probably professionals listening right now that say, what, you can't do that? You can't bring them back into the trauma state. I'm going to remind you of my disclaimer. These are my opinions. These are just my experiences that I've had, what I've gone through, and what I've helped people process in them, is when they can talk about an event and they're able to get it out, things that they may never have wanted to express before because it was so awful, that it can be a path to healing. Not always. I'm not saying that it works for everyone in the same way. I'd prefer people talk about the emotions, the thoughts, and the feelings about the event than the event itself, because the event itself is just the catalyst for what you're going through and when you're in PTSD or any sort of trauma. I personally prefer to address the details. And when I'm with someone that I feel safe with, I might express more details and allow whatever to happen inside of me. If I'm going through a traumatic response, let's let it happen. Let's tackle this head on. My motto is bring it on. You know what? Bring it on. Come on, negative emotions. Come on. Just overcome me. And that's just me. But I've done a lot of work on myself. And if you're not there, you're not there. You may never be in that space to be able to do that. But I do encourage you to express to someone safe, or even journal about your thoughts and feelings and emotions about the event. Because that's what's really affecting you. When you're in any type of negative emotional state, that's what's really affecting you. It's not the event itself, even though it is. It's the catalyst, it's the stimulus, but it's not the event itself. It's what the event has done to you, how it has transformed you. And if it transformed you for the worse, and that worst feeling is still in there, that negative vibe, the stuff you don't like walking around with, that's the kind of stuff that if you can express and get it out of you, then it doesn't come up and surprise you in certain ways and around certain people, around certain events. It doesn't come up and surprise you because you start to heal through it. It's very involved. I'm not saying it's easy. It's a deep process. It's something that a lot of people go through their entire life because there's many facets to it and there's many emotions and everything is complex inside of you. But you got to start somewhere. And sometimes the best place to start is what I was referring to in the last segment, is that when an emotion, a thought, a feeling comes up, is to address it as soon as you possibly can. Because you're in the moment, you're right there, you have an opportunity. And if you can express what's going on inside of you in that moment with someone that you feel safe expressing to, or at least journal about it, then you have an opportunity to allow it to be freed from your system. Does this work with every trauma? Does it work with old abuse? Does it work with all of this stuff? I don't know. I mean, you just have to test this stuff out. And again, if you're really having trouble with this, if there's real trauma in your life, definitely seek a professional because they're the ones trained to help guide you through that. So I just want to disclaim that. So you don't do this and then suddenly you feel so awful and there's no way out. I want you to have that way out. That's what professionals are good for, is they give you that path out of the space that we can sometimes get into when we're so traumatized, when we're having thoughts and feelings that just won't end and we got to get out of it. That's when it's time to really connect with someone that knows what they're doing. Not that I don't know what I'm doing. Just saying it's good to be aware of your limitations or your ability to process this stuff. If you haven't been doing a lot of self-help work and you just decide, oh, I'm just going to address this abuse that I had in my childhood. I had never done that. Let's try and see what happens. It, you know, can be scary and it can lead to something else. It can lead to some Pandora's box of emotions opening up in you. And, oh, I don't want to make it sound scary. I just want to prepare you that often you do need someone you trust, someone you can express to, someone that you could tell anything to. Even if you feel like you can't tell anything because you're too afraid to say these things, someone who loves and supports you and wants you to be happy will be more than willing to help you through this and listen and at least offer that trusted ear so that you can get through the moment. So back to Mary. I just want to thank you so much, Mary. You know, you're only in your 50s. It really is young. I talked to someone who's nearing 80, and she seems very young to me, which means that you have a minimum of 30 plus years to go before you even start thinking that you're too old to handle this stuff in your life. You can start now and you can address some of the stuff that you're going through now. You can go through your healing. You can go through a bunch of stuff. You can go through a bunch of emotional growth in a short matter of time if you're willing to allow it to come up, if you're willing to let these thoughts and feelings and emotions be expressed in some way, shape, or form. Because when you do this, when you finally tell yourself, hey, look, I'm ready to address this stuff. I'm ready to get rid of it. Believe me, your subconscious mind finds a way to bring it up. I've learned this over and over again. I'm sick of this feeling. I'm ready to get rid of it. Oh, you're sick of this feeling? Okay. I'm going to make sure that you have an opportunity to address this feeling. Here it is. You know, it doesn't just come that fast. It usually comes by surprise, by some event. Whatever cosmic force out there has lined up something for you for it to occur so that this particular old trauma or emotional wound comes up for you to address. And now you have an opportunity. And often we have a choice to say, oh, there it is. Let's finally tackle this once and for all. And I know sometimes you do want to tackle it and you don't know how, but that's why I do this show. That's why there are so many sources that you can look to really start addressing what's going on inside of you. Because I guarantee if you're experiencing it, you're having a human reaction, which means out of the 7.5 billion plus people now that are on the earth, there are other humans having that same reaction, having very similar thoughts, very similar, if not the same emotions, which means, no, you're not alone. Whether that makes you feel better or not, it allows you to realize that since other people have it, then other people have gotten through it as well. And if they can do it, you can do it. I know you can. Thanks for listening today. Thank you, Mary, for your email. I'm very touched, and I'm so glad that you found the show. Hopefully you're still listening. If not, I'll remind you that I'm still here, that we're still going strong, almost 6 years now. Looking forward to year number 7. We'll be right back, and I'll say some closing words after this. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I want to remind you to go to quietbegins.com and check out the Safe Empowerment System for Social Anxiety. Anxiety should not be your norm, and maybe that is your solution. Check it out at quietbegins.com. And I want to thank you if you support the show through donation or at the patron program at patron.theoverwhelmedbrain.com. I appreciate you. I am grateful for you. Thank you so much. I also want to thank the iTunes reviewer, Missy Thing. Thank you so much for your review. Missy Thing says, Paul is amazing. I love it. Thank you so much. I also want to thank June. June, thank you so much for your email regarding all the typos in the Overwhelmed Brain book. She's probably thinking, what, you're thanking me for that? Yes, I told June that I actually appreciate criticism. I actually appreciate when somebody tells me something that is wrong with what I'm doing, or I'm in error, or whatever it is, because it is always an opportunity to improve myself and show up in the world as a better person with better stuff, with better content. And for someone to take the time to do that means they care. Now, that doesn't mean that all critical people care about you, but for someone to say, hey, look, this is what you're doing it wrong, you're pronouncing this wrong, you're spelling this wrong, you're wrong about this piece of information, I say, thank you. Thank you so much. You don't want me to look like an idiot. That means a lot to me. That is the most loving, respectful, kind gesture you can do. So if you catch me in mistakes or errors or problems, I am totally open to that. So thank you, June. That's going to go to my editors, and I'm going to ask them why they miss so much. But I appreciate you. If you're interested in the Overwhelmed Brain book, even with all the spelling and grammatical errors, go to Amazon and check it out. You can also get to Amazon through my link at theoverwhelmedbrain.com. And finally, I'd like to thank Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And to close the show, I want to give you some questions that you can ask yourself when it comes to purging emotions. When you have any negative emotions that just start to come up, you might want to ask yourself the first question, which is, how can I purge this? You may not have an answer, but let's just see what comes up. Even if you have been carrying around negative emotions for a while now, just ask yourself, what could I do to purge these emotions? So whatever comes up might be an answer, might not. Maybe you don't have any answer, but I'm going to give you some questions to ask yourself when a negative emotion comes up so that perhaps you could figure out a way to purge it pretty quickly. The first question to ask yourself is, what just happened? When Matthew and I were leaving and I got in the car, I asked myself, what just happened? What's going on here? What just happened? And I went through the scenario in my mind. And the second question was, what am I feeling? What just happened? What am I feeling? And that's the second question. The third one is, why do I feel that way? Why do I feel awkward? Why do I feel stupid? Why do I feel that way? So ask yourself that question. Another one is, and this one kind of goes off a little bit, but what am I afraid to lose? Because that came up for me. What am I afraid to lose? Is there some abandonment issue coming up here? Because if I feel awkward and stupid, is it because if he sees me as awkward and stupid and bumbling idiot the way I saw me, then will he have a different opinion about me? And if he does, if he likes me less or doesn't like me at all, does that mean I lose that friendship? And some old feelings came up. What do I have to lose? What am I afraid to lose? And so that came up in me. And that can help you come up with something as well. And then the follow-up question to that is, why am I afraid to lose that? Ask that follow-up question and find out where it takes you. Now, this next one takes you into the start of the purge, which is, if I could express what I'm feeling to someone that I feel safe with, what would I say to them? That's a great question. What would I say to them if I could express what I'm feeling to someone else? What I'm thinking, what emotions I'm having, what would I say to them? And you can actually find someone to do this with, or, you know, like I said earlier, journal and just verbalize it. Get it out of your body, either through your mouth or through your hands. I know that sounds weird, but through your mouth, through talking, expressing, or through your hands, through writing. And there are other ways to get this stuff out of your system. Some people like to punch a pillow, or they do physical activity such as exercise or martial arts or other things that cause you to move your body. These are all ways to give your inner emotions a voice or some outward expression into the world. Whatever works for you. And this next and last question, at least for this episode, there's more that I could get into, but just for this episode, and this really helps you connect at a deeper level, and it's this. If I knew that expressing my deepest thoughts, feelings, and emotions to someone safe would absolutely purge the negativity inside of me, what would I say to them that I wouldn't say to anyone else? I want you to take that thought into whatever mind space that you want. If you're dealing with negativity, just take that thought, take that question with you and see where you go with it. See what happens. And while you do it, just keep an open mind. This will help you step into your power and also help you be firm in your decisions and actions so that you can create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.